welcome to Kiss the Crest, a weekly podcast where we talk about football news, football scores, football transfers.
Football cars.
Football cars. Can
Rocket
I drive
League.
One? Oh, we should have a Rocky League car.
Yeah.
So this is the week of December. No, that's wrong. This is the week of November 29th. As usual, I'm your host, Sean Thomas.
I'm Dave Linata.
I'm Rob Steller.
And we are going to start off with the scores like usual, and we're going to go through all the leagues. We also had Champs League scores from last week because when we recorded it, the Champs League games hadn't happened yet. So we're going to start off by doing all those league games.
And lots then of goals in Champs League.
Yeah, especially for one team.
Three of them, yeah.
Then we're going to move on to our topic for the day. Does it help or does it hurt? Is it important for your team to be diverse? And when we say diverse, we mean nationality-wise, like should your whole team be Italian? And how does that work? How does that affect your team play? So let's get into it. So we're going to start off with Germany. This is the same thing we say every single week. So Bayern Munich won.
You think
Bruce
we should
Dortmund.
Just cut and paste?
I think we might as well. We're just going to have the same thing over and over. And honestly, Munich won 2-0, but it could have been more.
That's
there were
it?
Some really
they only
good
scored
saves.
Two goals? That's big news.
Yeah, that is the news. I mean, honestly, they looked really good, and they could have scored more, but whoa, yay, defense, not really. It was just the keeper making some saves. So I don't know. I don't know what to say at this point. Bayern Munich is just rolling. It's yep. all about Champions League at this point.
Yep.
Dortmund, too. Aubameyang scored a double. They beat Stuttgart 4-1. You know, it's good to see them keep going, but, you know, looking at the table, it's still pretty much as you expect it. Munich is all the way on top. Dortmund is behind them. Let me pull it up real quick. And then it's the same story every time. I don't know what to do at this point. I mean, even Wolfsburg, who's in third, they're 15 points off the top. So really, Munich's on 40 points, Dortmund with 32, and Wolfsburg with 25. And then the rest of the table is kind of around there. I don't think Munich's going to be caught at all.
I got a lead that will top yours, Sean. Give us a few minutes.
Here. Okay. Okay. So, yeah, that basically does it for Germany.
So we're going to go over to France now, best league in the world. League One, League as Sean would pronounce it.
Yeah.
So Friday's game, kind of an upset. Lyon lost 4-2 against Montpellier. Pronounced wrong. But Lyon is actually in, they're up there. They're in fourth now, but they're usually one of the teams, bigger teams in France. So they lost. They slipped up to a team that was 13th. So that was a Friday game. And then Saturday, we're going to go to PSG. I mean, they're steamrolling. Everyone's still. They had a big win on Saturday. They ended up winning by a score of 4-1 against Troy.
Close.
Yeah, and in that game, Eber scored a penalty. Cavani ended up having a goal, and then a couple youngsters, Kevin Jean Augustin had a goal, and then Kurzawa had a goal too. But PSG's steamrolling that, so they won.
Hey, they're splitting up the goal scorers. That's good to see. Yeah. It's not just Eber.
Yeah.
Well, and Eber's got a lot of goals.
And
I think they're starting to rest some of their bigger name guys because some of them because you know a couple of these guys like Kurzawa is good but he normally I think doesn't play over Maxwell or Marquinhos and Augustin's a sub and he's been playing a little bit more too. So PSG keeps moving forward right direction obviously and then the other game on Saturday I would say that was big. Saturday, there really wasn't too much else. The French League. So we all care about PSG. They won. And then Sunday, the big game, fighting for Champs League spots. That game was entertaining. It was 3-3. But that's pretty much it. PSG right now has a commanding lead over Cayenne. Angers is in third. Angers. And Lyon is in fourth.
I mean, the craziest thing looking at this table, I mean, yeah, so PSG is way ahead, but you even look at goal difference.
Yeah, 29.
29, and second place has 3.
That's pretty bad.
I mean,
it's pretty bad.
Nice has 11 goal differential in the positive, and they're in sixth. But I mean, the goal difference is just absolutely absurd. Their goal difference is, well, I don't know what this means, but it's higher than the lowest teams is negative. I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, PSG, this is all about. But yeah, at least on the positive, I mean, they can play their youngsters because they don't need to do anything to win the league at this point.
So, you know, 41. PSG's got 41 points. It's still haven't lost a game. Like I said, Cayenne or Cyan and Angers are in second and third with 28 and 26. Lyon's in fourth, the Europa spot, with 25. And then Monaco is in seventh with 24. And Marseille's in 11th with 19. But nice. That pretty much runs out France for you.
All right, so let's move on to Italy. Man, I tell you, week the after week, opposite. Italy just throws up upsets. Games you don't expect. Anyway, so let's jump
into it. If you're not watching the Serie A, you need
to be. It is amazing. I think this has got to be like the fourth lead change, fifth lead change this season already. So Sassuolo.
And none of them are Juventus.
No. Although Juventus is now coming back.
Yeah.
And all the other teams are letting Juve come back.
Well, what's going to happen if we go through all these lead changes and Juve just wins the title?
If Juve wins, I'm going to be so pissed. Okay, it'd be their fifth straight. So Sassuolo played Fiorentina, drew 1-1. So Fiorentina slipped up and dropped points. Roma dropped points by losing 2-0 to Atalanta, which is a bit of a shock. Atalanta is mid-table. They're kind of always there. They're always a team that are tough to beat. But nonetheless, you're Roma. You're fighting for the top spot. You should be winning these games.
Yeah.
Another shock. Empoli beat Lazio 1-0. Juve got their win 3-0 over Palermo. Milan finally has a performance that's worthy about talking.
Let's spend 20 minutes on it.
No, we don't have to. It was a fantastic performance. The team came through. We scored 4 goals, 4-1 over Sampdoria. Granted, Sampdoria is lower on the table this year, but honestly, I don't remember the last time our offense looked this good. Our defense was clicking. Niang came out and had a phenomenal game, was creating plays. He was scoring goals. He had one goal and then one from the PK spot. Bonaventura was setting it up, having some great balls in. Cherchi actually had, I think, assisted at least one of the goals, but he was actually playing well for once. Adriano subbed on late and got a goal, even though he should have scored probably two. Baca had a couple chances, couldn't put it back in the net, so that was unfortunate. Looked like we were going to have a clean sheet, another clean sheet for Donnarumma, the 16-year-old star who's come up and replaced Diego Lopez in goal. But unfortunately, a late PK got by him, so ended up 4-1.
It's a PK, it doesn't count.
It's fine. He still looks good. You know, he wasn't tested a lot during this game. Milan controlled, most of the game. So nonetheless, it was another good performance by him. But anyway, so we'll talk about the big match was earlier today, actually Monday, and that was Napoli versus Inter. And you thought Inter was going to keep going and keep pushing into first place, but Napoli was like, no, I'm not going to let you. So Napoli got Higuain had a goal, I think, 2 minutes into the game, followed it up.
Higuain
was
on fire. I mean,
he's got 12 goals this season, top scorer in the league right now. Inter managed to pull one back. And then right in the 94th minute at the death, Inter had two solid chances, a header that went off the right post. And then 10 seconds later, Reyna had a ridiculous save, fingertip pushed it onto the left post and managed to keep
It was so close. You couldn't even see it until you see the slow-mo replay and you see
barely,
how he affected it.
Barely pushed the ball off. That's what you got to do. But it counts. And he you could see how pumped he was. So that propels Napoli to the top of the table with 31 points. Inter slips down to second with 30. Fiorentina in third with 29. Roma in fourth with 27. Juve up to fifth in that Europa spot with 24. Followed by Sassuolo and Milan with 23. And yeah, it's week after week, man, I'm telling you, this is the league to watch this year. It's been fantastic.
There's no point even doing predictions. I mean, do you see any players that you really think could make the difference in it, or
in the whole league?
Yeah,
I don't. It's like, I mean, Higuain, you obviously can't discount. Like, he's been scoring almost a goal a game. I can obviously speak for Milan, but we've had Bonaventura, the way he's been playing. Dybala, obviously, the way he's been playing for Juventus, there's a lot of talent that I think people overlook, and it's throwing up some really competitive football.
Yeah, actually, looking at the top scorers, it's kind of interesting. So Higuain is 12; he has 12 goals, so he's number one. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Eder for Sampdoria has Eder.
Yep. He did score today.
Ten goals. I mean, looking down, I mean, Gervinho, I mean, so Fiorentina, Napoli, you're seeing all the expected players, yep. But Baca's actually tied for fifth with Dybala and Gervinho.
Yep.
It's interesting to look at it, though, and just see how diverse all the top scorers are. I mean, you would see some of it because obviously there's a main striker, but you're seeing multiple players from multiple teams all near the top.
Yep.
And it's not like one player is just dominating, scoring 20, 30 goals.
Yep. And then for assists, you have Bonaventura. He's got five. Sampanaro with over at Empoli. He's got five. Pjanic for Roma has been playing really well. He's also got five assists. I mean, there's just it's so good. I don't know how to say, like, everything's spread out, man. It's just there's so many teams who are vying for the title this year. I think it'll hopefully we'll stay like this, and then Juve won't just like creep back up and then get a 10-point lead.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you get enough string of results and you have this situation where all the other teams are just beating each other up,
yeah.
But I mean, you still have tests ahead. Juventus still has to beat some top teams. I mean, they haven't done all that well for all the top teams, so we'll see what happens. I mean, this weekend they have Lazio, so that shouldn't be too bad. I don't think there are any huge matchups this weekend.
Oh, Juve and Lazio.
Yeah, but Lazio's kind of falling.
But Lazio, yeah, this year,
but you can't discount them.
No,
you definitely can't discount them.
Yeah, but I guess there aren't any huge matchups. Like,
no, Fiorentina and Udinese. I mean, Udinese hasn't had the best season. But
I guess I mean top Fiorentina five versus top back. Five.
No.
Which
I guess not.
It seems crazy because it feels like Inter, every week there's
Inter
at least
has
one
a tough game against Genoa. They're always a tricky side. And even Roma versus Torino. Torino can be tricky to play against. So, yeah, there's. I think the last few weeks we've seen like the top three teams in the top three play against each other like week after week just because of the way things have been moving around.
Yeah.
So we don't have that this week, but nonetheless, you know, with all these shocks that are happening, you just never know.
There's a lot of banana skins, potential banana skins. You got to watch out for those bananas. So then we're gonna move over to La Liga. So the weekend started off with Barcelona thumping Real Sociedad 4-0. It was just a really solid win after another Champions League win. I mean, we're flying on all cylinders, or we're clicking on all cylinders. I don't know how this analogy works, but it's incredible.
Firing on all cylinders.
I don't know why I was saying other words. But we're just looking really good. The front three, Messi's back and he's fitting in well. He had a lot of close shots, and his goal was kind of a tap in, but. Neymar had a good goal. Suarez had a ridiculous volley, just like the game he had versus Roma in Champs League.
Yep.
It's, I mean, we're just rolling. We were clearly dominant. It was at home, admittedly, but and you know, Sociedad's not that great. They just, for those who don't know, they actually had David Moyes after he left Manchester United, but they fired him recently, so they have a new head coach. Who actually happens to be our former, the Barca B head coach. But we just destroyed them. So that was that. Atletico Madrid had a game and they actually won. They had a lot of chances, but they only ended up winning. I think it was 2-0? Or no, 1-0, sorry.
Zip, yeah.
Yeah, so they had a lot of chances, but they're still looking good, and they're only 4 points behind us. Madrid had a game versus Eibar. Eibar's not that great. I think they have a decent defense. It took a little bit longer than I expected for them to score. I think it was the end of the first half. Bale had the opener, and then Cristiano Ronaldo scored a PK towards the end. It was like almost towards the death. They still, you know, a couple of things to note from their game. They're still, to a degree, reeling from the whole Clasico fallout. And now there's a lot of questions over what's going to happen with Rafa Benitez, even Florentino Perez, their president. And they still were clearly the dominant team, but they didn't look as good as you expect them to. Ronaldo still hasn't claimed his form back, and I don't really know what's going on, because you just expect at some point he just clicks.
Right.
And he's had chances.
Lots of chances.
Yeah. Not all of them are tap-ins, and the keeper did well.
No, but a year or two ago, those are goals every single time.
Every single time. And, for example, there was this wasn't this game. Maybe we'll talk about it a little bit later, but he had an overhead goal that he kick that he just completely mishit. And when you try... when you try one of those kind of shots, you're going to look really bad.
At least have to make connection with it.
Yeah, and he hit it, and he completely shanked it. He had another shot in this game that he shanked. I don't know. It's Cristiano Ronaldo. The guy scores just for fun, so I expect him to come back. but he still hasn't looked at his best. Bale scored the other one, so it's good to see him scoring, and who knows, maybe he's the future of Real Madrid. There's a lot of talk that maybe Ronaldo is getting a little bit older. They want to offload him. Maybe PSG will buy him and then build a team around Bale. And I mean, I don't know what you guys think. Clearly, Ronaldo is the best player on that team, but I could see, and I know, you know, this is like a bit of the Barcelona fan in me, but I feel like he has this selfish nature. I'd love to see what happens if he's gone and he's not the center. I don't think Bale is an incredible player, but I don't think he'll take the center stage like Ronaldo does. I don't think he can. So it'd be interesting to see if the team becomes more even if they lose like
maybe
that.
Maybe it's just time for Ronaldo to go back to United.
Yeah,
time is nigh, man.
Oh, man, dude, that would be ridiculous. Linking Rooney back up with his old partner. I don't know who would make space. I mean, whoever, who cares? I'm sure if Ronaldo wants to come back, he's back. But it sounds like PSG really wants him, especially because they got to get rid of Ibra. Because Ibra's on, like, what is he, 33, 34, I think?
Something like
that. He's definitely older.
I'd still take him. I'd still come back with us, whatever. Baby.
He can still go to a good team. That's the point. But it sounds like PSG wants somebody younger. So he's going for a 30-year-old. But that basically does it for La Liga. Basically, Barcelona is on top with 33 points. Atletico Madrid has 29, and Real Madrid has 27. So it's still, the race is still on, but Barcelona definitely has a commanding lead right now.
So over to England, Saturday's games, there was six games on Saturday. Start off with, I'd say probably one of the more entertaining games was Bournemouth and Everton. The three
oh
games.
My God.
I caught some of it, but I didn't get to see the whole thing. But game finished 3-3, but it was back and forth with some late goals.
I mean, it was 2-0 for the vast majority of the game. Everton was in control. I thought this was just a win. This was
and
in the
past, you know, the last 10 minutes, including a lot of stoppage time, Bournemouth scored 3 goals, one being 8 minutes into stoppage to tie it. Barkley had a third to take the lead 5 minutes in the stoppage time. But it was back and forth the last 10 minutes, 3-3. Bournemouth's got a couple of good draws. Out of the past, I think, 2 games.
It's a big point. It's a big point.
Yeah, for them to stay up, they need to draw or get points against teams like this, for sure. Another big game, I'd say one of the biggest games of the weekend was the Leicester City.
Wrong city.
There's a new city in town, baby. Pretty much. Leicester City Man U game. I think it was 1-3 coming in. Leicester was in first place.
Oh no, Leicester was in. Oh, that's what
it was. 1-2.
Yeah.
1-2. So this is a huge game.
Oh no, sorry. United,
City must
United
have been tied.
Might have been ahead on.
Well, either way, Leicester being top versus another top club. They have a really tough stretch of games coming up, and Vardy kept his streak going here.
He broke the record.
He's got that.
Right. Broke the record. He got a goal.
Jamie Vardy.
First half,
man.
Take the lead. And United tied it up in, I think, extra time or stoppage time in the end of the first half to tie it up at 1, and that was his final score, 1-1. So Leicester City, I'd say that's a pretty big point. They have a couple, like 4 or 5 really tough games coming up. So
we were talking about this, that they haven't played the big four, right, or big five, and coming into this, you know, there are a lot of questions of can they keep this form up against the bigger clubs, and
if they can get,
I don't think many people gave him a chance. Admittedly, he was at home, but still.
Who did?
Yeah.
That's
not what I was saying.
If they can get through these games with some draws against City and Man U, they just did. If they can draw a few of these games and just get some points, I think they'll be, they'll still be in good shape. I mean, I still think they're going to fall off a little bit, but
yeah, it would be tough to see them winning the league.
Oh, no.
But
you already did drop a spot.
Yeah,
I mean, even if they got in Europe though next year, it'd be
huge
for them.
Yeah. That would be insane to see Leicester City. But a quick thing about that: so we're talking about Jamie Vardy. I mean, there are two huge components to this Leicester team, and one of them is Jamie Vardy. Somebody pointed out that what was it? Only 4 seasons ago, he was playing 6th division football, he's in top flight. But how do you think this turns out? We'll talk about it a little bit later. Harry Kane's looking better. He's not what he was last year, but he's looking better. You have Vardy and Kane up front. Can England actually do something in the Euros this year if they actually have? I mean, they're no Germany, they're no France, they're no Spain. But
I don't know.
England has been poor for so long.
Every year, I feel like we say, oh, they've got all this talent.
I feel like it was
up.
Rooney before, but who else was with Rooney? You know? So
I don't know. I think they'll disappoint again. But
you think? Imagine a front three. I don't even know how England sets up. But like Rooney, Kane, and Vardy. Yeah. I don't know how they
get
set up.
Sturridge
at all,
back in there.
Too. Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about that in a second. But Sturridge, it's like,
yeah. The game itself, being a Man U fan, you know, I wasn't a great outcome, but you know, to at least get points, they were trailing in the game, so
they
come
lose,
back and
I
draw.
Guess.
Was something, but to win the league, they got to beat these teams.
That's
you know?
True. That's
but,
true.
But the game was pretty boring, to be honest with you. Outside of that, there really weren't that many chances for either side. I think each team had total like four shots on goal or something. It wasn't a really entertaining game, but just the matchup I think made it you know more tense.
It's crazy.
But yeah, so Leicester got the draw 1-1. Crystal Palace blew out Newcastle United 5-1.
They ran riot. It was
Newcastle's falling off. Their squad's good, and they're in the relegation zone as we speak. So that was a huge win for Palace, though. They're another team that I think they got promoted a couple years ago.
Yeah,
and
not
they
that long ago.
They usually, well. I mean, I don't know where they finished last year, but they've done pretty well considering they got promoted pretty quickly.
Yeah,
it's a good thing we have promotion.
Sure. Oh, man.
A couple other scores. Watford beat Aston Villa 3-2. Sunderland got a win, a big win, finally.
Yeah,
they're still at the bottom, but they beat Stoke 2-0. And then the other game on Saturday, City beat Southampton, which normally would be a pretty big game. Southampton hasn't been as good this year, but
they're not bad, though.
City
they're
won
the
3-1.
De Bruyne
is owning. I mean, that pickup is huge. He's involved in everything. In this game, he had a goal and assist, I believe. A goal and two assists in this game. So he was a part of every goal. You know, Aguero played again. I think he got injured.
I heard something. I don't actually remember, but I think he did.
Yeah, he got subbed off. I don't think it's serious, but he did get subbed off. And the other big thing was David Silva subbed on. So that's going to be good if they can get some of these guys back.
Once they get them all back.
They're still missing Hart. Hart got hurt in the as Rob will talk.
It was an injury. But
Hart got injured in Champs League, so he's out. Probably
that was Willie. It's a big loss.
Willie's back.
I mean, they've been hurt all year. I mean, the company's still out. He hasn't played. They keep. They're deep, so they got a lot of good players, but they keep shuffling guys.
You can't do this.
And they're still. I mean, they're in first place. So,
but this is
pretty crazy.
This is exactly why you buy so many players that you have backups. Like even you know we're talking about Joe Hart is out. Willie Caballero. Now he never plays, so it's difficult. But he actually was a really good keeper before he came to City. And then you have you know Otamendi comes in for Company, and you have these other players. They still have a decent lineup.
Oh,
I mean, it's not their starting lineup, but this is why you spend all those extra dollars to get all these people to sub in.
And Southampton's missing Graziano Pelle because he was I think he had a red card or some ban he had. So that was big. I mean, he scores a lot or is involved in a lot
Pelle
of their goals.
Really good.
Along with Mane and Tadic has been pretty good as well. So that pretty much rounds out Saturday's games. Sunday, Tottenham Chelsea game I thought would be a little bit better.
Real exciting.
You know, for
London
Chelsea,
Derby.
That's a great result for Chelsea.
Yeah.
This
you know,
we're not. But I was, you know.
But Tottenham, I'm a little surprised. I'm a little surprised.
I mean,
they were on a hot streak. They're doing well. For those who don't know, 0-0.
Yeah.
So.
The big news was probably Costa not starting.
Yeah.
And, you know, how he would react and whether they would sub him on and whatnot. But that game was pretty lackluster, 0-0. So the big point, I guess, I'd say for Chelsea and Tottenham, still, you know, they got something out of it. So,
but here's the thing: I mean, it's the up and down thing. Chelsea had one shot on target. You're talking about Chelsea. I mean, sure, you know, whatever, Costa was out, but that doesn't matter. This is Chelsea we're talking about. I don't even know. And the bib gate, who knows if it was a big deal, but clearly Diego Costa didn't look happy.
For those of you who don't know, yeah. Costa was just walking on the bench and then he just tossed his bib off.
It just so happened to hit him.
Yeah, I guess it went towards Mourinho's.
But I don't think direction. You throw it unless you're like, why would you throw it? I don't unless know. You're,
it's not, it wasn't like, it's not like he threw it at him. He just kind of tossed
but then,
it.
But then direction. Why would Mourinho stoke the flames after? Why would he because piss off his player unless they had something before? Because he's Well, he specifically said he's privileged, which is probably true. He's played a lot. But either way, whatever it is, this team is shadow of its former self.
When you're subbing on Ruben Loftus-Cheek and Kennedy.
Yeah, it just is not
the guy you picked up, Falcao, who's just you could talk about him a full show. Because the past 2 years with United and Chelsea, his career is clearly
he's like the next Torres. Yeah. Although Torres was probably better at Liverpool than... Falcao was it. Yeah. It was that injury, I guess.
Yeah. So, you know, that was, you know, I get on. It wasn't a really good game, but 0-0. West Ham drew West Brom 1-1. Liverpool and Klopp, Sean's Klopp. BFF, got a...
I like Klopp. I don't like Liverpool. I just like Klopp.
Got a 1-0 victory over Swansea City.
A win's a win.
So they continue to play pretty well.
And but big news with that.
Yeah.
Sturridge re-injured himself.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, look, you can wait on a player to come back, but this is insane. Sturridge, when's the last time he's played? He's really played. It's been forever, and I don't even know what to do at this point. You can't trust him as a starting player. He's just not going
to
come back.
No, and going back to England and talking about the English squad, I mean, he's one of the key young players to be in that squad now, and you need him to be healthy for these big tournaments to get this experience and to help the team. And, you know, at the rate he's going, who knows when he's going to be playing.
They haven't talked about how bad serious the injury is, so it might just be a minor one. I don't know what it
regardless,
is.
Regardless, I mean, it's...
And if I remember correctly, he didn't even play. It was in like before the match began. It wasn't even. And Klopp had a curious thing to say. He said something along the lines of, I lied. He did come on. But Klopp had something to say where he's like, he has to get used to the level we practice at. It almost kind of felt like a dig in a weird way, like as though he can't train hard enough. But I don't know. And sometimes this becomes a mental thing, too. You're injured so long that you think everything's going to damage you.
Kinda
but either
like
way.
With me. Yep. So they got the win. They're still moving up there. I would say another big point is Jordan Henderson actually subbed on, so he's back. He's their new captain, so he's been out for a long time. He's back too, or coming back. So that's good news for them. In Swansea, I'd say another big story this year has been Gomis. He legit like fell off the map. He was their best player.
He was doing so well. He was like the
higher scorer.
Yeah,
in the first
and he
10
doesn't
games
even
or so.
Start now. He plays maybe 20 minutes a game, and the Portuguese star Eder has been starting instead. And I mean, Swansea's been doing pretty bad now. Recent results have been pretty bad. So that's an interesting story itself. The ups and downs of Premier League strikers. Vardy will probably suck next year. No,
no, I'm surprised because Gomis looks fit to play in the Premier League. He's big, strong, and he can hold himself up. He doesn't just fall down. I'm surprised he's fallen off as much as he has. But they had zero shots on target this game, which it's away, but still, you got to have at least a shot on target.
And then another big result this weekend was the Arsenal game. Arsenal played Norwich City. And that game ended in a draw.
Just when you think Arsenal is going to start making moves.
Crazy. Setting up for the title. You know,
sorry, Kelly.
That's a big, most competitive league in the world. So.
Yeah.
ended 1-1. Arsenal goal was nice. Sanchez
great
had
setup
awesome
by Sanchez.
Pass.
Even Ozil's finish was good, too.
Ozil's been playing really well.
Which he should be. He was incredible. Before at Madrid, he was really good, but he was on a little downturn. He won the World Cup with Germany.
Ozil's been their better player this year, and Sanchez always. But Ozil was playing very well. And Norwich got an equalizer by Luis Graben, 43rd minute. Assist by Robbie Brady. So that was a 1-1 draw.
Another big thing with that, though, is Sanchez.
Yeah, Sanchez pulled his hammy in the second half.
Hamstring's not good. I mean, if he's out, Sanchez is a key part of the team. He's also, well, I don't know this. I don't know any players, but I feel like he's a leader. It's one of those things, when a good player plays well, you play well. Yeah. So being, Sanchez has been so
being
good for
hurt,
them.
Depending on how bad it is, if he misses time, it's obviously going to be, you know. In Arsenal, I mean,
it's going to be months.
They're, I consider them one of the top four teams. Their depth isn't nearly as great as City's, Chelsea's, even United's, Tottenham's, I think, is probably even a little bit better. I mean, their bench is really just Joel Campbell. Oxford and Chamberlain's pretty good, but I mean, their bench is nowhere near as stacked as some of these other
but,
guys.
But I mean, not to
especially
mention
forwards and attackers, they really don't have too many people right now.
Well, yeah, it's not even just depth, they also have a laundry list of injuries. Like, you're looking at
Wilshire, Ramsey. Well, Ramsey's back,
yeah. I think
Walcott's been hurt.
All the guys who are always injured. I mean, this is at the point where you just say, should we even consider them part of the main team? Like, these guys are always going to get injured. I don't even know how players get injured that frequently. But you're looking at a depleted squad, and you just can't keep pulling. Who are you going to pull out at this point?
So that pretty much wrapped it up this weekend for the Premier League. So going over to the league table, City restakes its lead at the top. They were
by goal differential.
Yeah, they were up there for a good portion of the year, but they're back in top on goal differential. They have an eight-goal lead over Leicester City. So 29 points is City. Leicester's in second still, 29 points as well. United's 1 point behind in third.
Yeah.
Arsenal, 1 point behind them in fourth with 27. And then Tottenham and Liverpool are 5-6, and they're separated by 2 points. So Liverpool is going to be in that Europe spot, you know, pretty quickly, I think. You know, if they keep winning the way they are, they're going to be right in the Champions League spot.
So looking at, like, the way the teams are, I don't think Arsenal can keep up this pace with all these injuries. They have a lot of injuries. Sanchez is a huge blow. I think maybe they can stay around where they are, but I don't think they can challenge for the title with this. City is coming back to strength. More people are coming back. Silva's
assuming,
back. Aguero's back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they still need help on defense and the keeper, but hell, if they can just keep scoring goals, they can stay ahead. So I think City is going to look stronger than they did in the past couple weeks. Leicester, I mean, is still, to me, an unknown. We'll have to see this stretch. United, I don't know. I don't think...
I mean, they've had worst injuries. I mean, Luke Shaw's out forever. That was brutal. He's done. So left back, they're shuffling around their defense a little bit. They're going to buy somebody, apparently, in the January window to replace him. And a couple other, not major injuries, but like Rooney, Martial, like they'll be missing a few guys here and there with some knocks. But yeah, I mean, those other teams are definitely in worse shape, or have been in worse shape than United has anyway.
I think Tottenham, injury-wise, looks decent. The only scary thing is, you know, if they lose Kane at any point, they don't really have that many backups. Liverpool has always dealt without Sturridge, so I guess, although they need to get, having Coutinho and having their full squad out, I mean, it's more just what can Klopp do. But I think City's going to start cementing their lead at this point. And Leicester, I still don't know. I don't think they'll pass these next couple tests. I think they can pull out some stuff, but you can only go so far. And I think actually United might climb to second and then Arsenal fall behind. I mean, they're already behind United, but we'll see.
You know, coming up for this next weekend, I don't think there's really any huge games, but the Capital One Cup is this week. So a couple teams do play twice, three times within a week span. Like City plays tomorrow. They play Hull City. Hull was in the Premier League, I think, either last year or the year before. Yep. Everton's got a game. Stoke has a game. And then a big game in the cup is Southampton Liverpool.
Yeah,
that's on Wednesday. Granted, this is the League Cups, but it's gonna depending on who they play, they might rest some guys or play the guys here, rest them on the weekend. And then Saturday, let me see if there's any big games. I mean,
nothing
really huge. I mean, Man United, West Ham might be a good game.
That should be a good game.
Leicester and Swansea could be good, but Swansea hasn't been playing that good. You know, if Chelsea loses to Bournemouth, I mean, that's just going to really...
But who knows what Chelsea is at this point.
So those are Saturday. Sunday, Newcastle, Liverpool, which would normally be an okay game, has really turned into, can Newcastle get anything out of that? And will Liverpool continue?
Wait, are you looking at the right week?
Yeah.
Which week
is
it?
It's good.
December 5th, 6th, 7th.
Come on. Oh, okay. Sorry. Looking at the wrong week.
Come on, Sean.
Okay.
And then there's a Monday game, too, Everton-Crystal Palace. That actually might be a good game. But anyway, that pretty much wraps it up for England.
All right, so let's move on to Champs League. Sean's time to shine. Let's just start. Barcelona 6-1 over Roma.
And the last goal was just a consolation goal that Roma got. I mean, I think it was not Mandzukic. What's his name? Can't think of his name off the top of my head. But it was just destruction. We just looked on fire. All of our players were scoring. I mean, it was ridiculous. I think, not to brag, but if you like watching football, you should watch those highlights because some of them were just insane, the passes that they struck.
It was
together.
Like an N1 mixtape.
Yeah, it basically is. It really is.
It was a training match. That's some of like their flicks and just like it looked like they were just trying some crazy stuff just to see if it would work. And like, I mean, like they were just backheeling it, flicking it, and then they were just like going in a breakaway and just own.
And it clearly at some point Roma knew there's no way we're coming back from this, and they just quit. I mean, PK scored. He was up in the front. He's also now he's in double digits with goals. Not this season, of course, but total in Champs League goals, I think. So
total.
But you know, I mean, when you have PK, our center back, going up front, you know we're just playing game with ourselves. And actually, so apparently after the game, Szczesny, I can't even pronounce it, Szczesny, said that he was actually just saying it was just a fun game to watch. I mean, he's the Roma keeper, and he was just saying we knew we couldn't do anything. And apparently it was a really bad, obviously it was a bad loss, and apparently Roman fans are not really happy with big losses like this. So Rudy Garcia, the coach, had to apologize. And things
yeah,
like that.
I mean, especially because Roma's been playing pretty well. In the
yeah,
last
they're
years
a really
too,
good team.
And, you know, you expected them to compete. I think, was it a draw the first time around?
Yeah, it was a draw. They had that ridiculous goal.
Yeah, so,
from,
I mean,
like,
you expected them to at least be competitive in this match.
Admittedly, once it got to the second or third goal, they just quit. I mean, the defense was just absurdly poor. It wasn't even a question of who's going to win. It was just how many goals are we going to score.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you got to wonder what Roma's like mentality was like when they first started the game. They're like, oh yeah, we can hold them or draw. And then once you see like Barcelona play and just score like the first goal and like the way they do it, you're just like,
tough to
how
back.
The hell are we going to stop these guys? And then next thing you know, it's 3-4-0. You're like, Jesus Christ. And you're like, you're just trying to get home.
Exactly.
You're getting smoked 6-1.
Just right now, we're just doing well. But anyway.
Yes, so Bayern Munich 4-0 over Olympiakos. As I don't know. I mean, Olympiakos is a strong team.
Yeah.
Bayern Munich is the strongest.
Much stronger.
Team. So
yeah. It's.
All right, so we'll keep going. Arsenal had a very convincing win over Dinamo Zagreb 3-0. PSG 5-0 over Malmo. Madrid, interestingly enough, they got the win, scored 4 goals, but gave up 3 late goals to Shakhtar.
Yeah, we got to talk about this. They were up 4-0.
You're like, we're done. And
after this
the 70th minute, Shakhtar got 3 back.
Yeah. 3 goals.
I mean, the
other thing,
kind of jumping around here, but the Arsenal game is huge because now if they beat their if they win their last game, they're going to get through.
Yeah.
Yep. We talked about that, I think, a week before. Arsenal had to win their next, I think, 2 games in order to just get second. And, you know, this is a good start. They won this game, and now it's in their hands. If they beat win next week,
they have to beat
against Olympiakos, who just got smoked, they'll get second.
Right, but I think they have to win by more than 3. I'll come back to that.
No, I mean, the goal differential in this separated it 3-0 and 4-0. I mean, that's a 7-goal swing there.
Yeah. All right, so Man U played against PSV, 0-0.
God.
That is his
reaction.
That group is crazy.
Anything?
I'm scared.
We'll come back to the group. But anything about
I'm
that game? Anything about that game you want to say?
I mean, PSV's a really
good team.
Squad.
They're a good team.
They're notorious for, you know, a lot of youngsters that, you know, Depay, man, you got from them. There's a lot of youngsters there. I think they had one of the youngest teams like in all of Europe. And
they're a feeder club.
Yeah, they're definitely a feeder club, but they're usually one of the better teams in that league.
Yeah.
And they're good, but Man U should not be, you know,
struggling against them. Yeah.
If they can't win these games, like, and if they get out of the group, they're not going to beat, I mean, the teams that make it out.
The next
PSG
level,
is going to
do that.
Yeah, I mean, how do you justify it? I don't get it. So yeah, a very disappointing result, and this just opens, I mean, everything wide open in this group. This group is insane. We'll talk about that.
Yep. And then the other game of note, Juve 1-0 over City, Mandzukic 18th minute goal. Anything?
Well, I guess you'll talk about it later, but it does change the table. I mean, it's interesting to see. I mean, you know, City has injuries, but Juventus got that defensive win, and winning 1-0, I mean, it's not pretty to watch, but whatever. They beat Manchester
Win's
City.
Win's a win, yeah. All right, so let's look at the table. So a lot of the groups are already decided. Madrid and PSG are through in Group A, as you would expect. Shakhtar and Malmo going out. Group B, we're looking at Wolfsburg with 9, geez. United with 8, and PSV with 7, Moscow out with 4. So we have United versus Wolfsburg, and it's a must win.
Yeah.
Pretty much, because you have to expect PSV to beat Moscow.
Yeah, so if Man U doesn't win...
Right, so if they draw and Eindhoven win, then right. PSV will go through.
Yeah.
Or if PSV and Wolfsburg through. it's gonna come down to the Man U-Wolfsburg game. I mean, Wolfsburg is playing much better than United is right now. Yeah. It's going to be extremely tough. I want to say it's in Germany. Could be wrong, but if it's in Germany...
But who knows?
A draw would be good, and you got to hope PSV loses.
Right. Well, yeah, that's the thing. You're going to be a CSKA Moscow fan for a night, because if they draw or something like that, and then you guys draw, you can still get through. Good, but even goal difference, I mean, you're up 1, and PSV has 0. I mean,
if we lose and PSV draws,
then you'll go
through. We would go through on one goal. Yeah, that, I definitely miss.
Still, it's super.
But still, I mean, you pretty much have to win.
Depending on who's available. I mean, they're midweek games, so I'm sure there's a Premier League game before that.
Well, you've got Cup this week. You've got Premier League against West Ham, and then you have this game next.
You know, it'd be interesting to see if Wolfsburg has a Cup game too. Because, I mean, if they don't, I mean,
you're gonna have rested players, huge. More rested players. Yeah,
you know, even PSV. I mean. United's got all these, you know, they're out of the cup, but which I guess might benefit them. But this is going to be crazy. I'm definitely going to, I don't know, call out sick or
just to watch
or
that.
Just like go to the bathroom for an hour or do something.
He's taking a big dump over there.
Oh, jeez. I had a bad food poisoning. Okay. I'm definitely
going
to watch this.
So Group C, Atletico Madrid and Benfica going through. Galatasaray and Astana are out.
So it's really a battle for who can get first for knockout rounds, but they're both in.
Yep. Group D, we're looking at Juve and City both going through. Still possible for Man City to get the top spot, assuming Juve loses their next game. Mönchengladbach and Sevilla both out of that group. Moving on to Group E, we have Barcelona through with... Not losing a match, only dropping points in one match to Roma.
Yep.
This is going to be an interesting
Roma's playing against Bate.
Yeah, that's going to definitely
help. So that's going to help. That said, Barcelona has no pressure to put out a first-team squad in this match.
Yeah. I mean, they will, but I'm sure they'll make a few changes.
It's still going to be tough. It'll be interesting if Bate makes it in, because they're definitely one of those.
And Bate's asleep. I mean, Bate could beat Roma. And I mean, if you look at the, I guess is it head to head? It must be head.
It must be head to head. Yeah, I think I was doing that wrong.
So that won't even matter. I mean, Roma's got a -5 goal differential
because lost 5 goals.
And Bayern and Leverkusen has a 1. So even I mean, if they both drew,
I'm Roma pretty sure. I think
it's a really weird group when you look at it.
Yeah. So basically, as long as Roma wins, they should be fine. Actually, to be honest, as long as Barcelona wins, Roma goes through. So it looks like the odds are in Roma's favor. Of course, this is football, and you never know. Move on to Group F. Bayern Munich is through. Olympiacos plays against Arsenal. Olympiacos and Zagreb is out. Olympiacos has 9 points. Arsenal with 6. So it's a must-win for Arsenal. I think if they win, Sanchez they'll go through.
Yeah.
But
it's going to be tough.
That'll be another big, big match. So...
It's the story of how they made it to the knockout round. Cinderella. It is cool to see the comeback.
They don't care what happens. They just want to get through the knockout round.
Yeah. Exactly.
Group G, Chelsea and Porto both with 10 points. Dinamo Kiev with 8 and Tel Aviv with 0.
Yeah, I don't know what the matchups are, but I mean, if you know, I don't know what the matchups are, but if Chelsea
can't win, then
right, it's possible.
I think Chelsea might play Kiev, actually, now that I think about it.
Let's find out. But it's another thing where Chelsea had a pretty easy group, and
they needed to get second. I mean, the two teams, Maccabi, Tel Aviv, and Dynamo Kiev, are now nowhere near any of these other teams in the other groups.
So Chelsea plays Porto.
Okay.
So if they draw, everybody will have 11 points. Assuming Dinamo Kiev.
So
beats,
if wow, that's so, interesting. Let's say that's almost more. This is almost interesting. Most interesting.
There's a lot
group
of interesting groups.
Yeah. So Dinamo Kiev, you'll assume, is going to beat Tel Aviv. So that means the Chelsea v Porto game. Basically, you win, you go through.
Yeah. Yeah.
What they got to do is put all these games on the same day.
I'm pretty sure
the
group games are on the same day.
No, but just like any game that counts, just put on the same day. And just let people scramble around and try watching like the best game.
But it's crazy to see. I mean, Chelsea could very easily be out.
Yeah.
If Dinamo Kiev wins and Porto wins, if they draw, they could still be out. I don't know the head-to-head. You have to figure that out. But that's
crazy.
Completely open. Except for Tel Aviv, who have a negative 14 goal
Maccabi
difference.
Yes.
I don't think they're coming
back. Wasabi Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
And then, so finally, Group H. Zenit St. Petersburg with 15 points. Ghent with 7. Ghent. Valencia
Robin
with 6.
Ghent.
And Lyon with
Shout
1.
Out.
Who saw Ghent coming through and having
with his hat, I saw him.
So Valencia is playing Lyon, so it's actually kind of an interesting setup. Zenit, people can't discount that. They haven't lost a single match yet. And I think even in the league,
they haven't dropped any points.
Well.
Yeah. I even know.
So
wow,
actually, they have the highest out of any group. They're the only
ones
with 15
points. They got a lot of
Portuguese
players, too, I think.
So we're looking at Zenit. They could easily beat Ghent. If Valencia could go through if they beat Lyon, but Lyon's definitely out. But it's a close matchup between Ghent and Valencia.
Yes. So there are still five-ish games, I think, that should make the last week, which is not this current week, but next week. We'll make that very
That'll
exciting and fun to watch.
Okay. That'll do it for the first half with all of our scores. We will catch you after the break.
Kiss the Crest is part of the Commentist Network, which is a collection of great podcasts covering a wide range of topics, from tech news to music to Dungeons and Dragons to veganism and positive living. For more information about Kiss the Crest or to check out our other great shows, go to thecommentist.com.
Okay, welcome back to the second half. We're going to get right into our topic for the day. We want to talk about diversity in teams. So back in the day, there wasn't as much travel, I guess you could say, with teams. So most teams, you know, you'd see people like Pelé playing for Santos. They'd be playing in Brazil. English players would be playing in England, vice versa. But thing is, nowadays, it's very much an international game in that players can go anywhere. And so my question to you guys is, what is the advantage of a diverse team versus, I guess, a homogenous team? Do you think it works out better or worse? And is there a style of football that you see emerge when you have a homogenous team? Is there, you know, the defensive Italian way, is that changing because there are fewer teams that are all Italian? England, I mean, I would think England is the most diverse league in the world just because they can buy all these players from all around the world. How does that affect the England national team? And so would you guys prefer to have a diverse team?
Well, it's interesting, right? So when you look at previous World Cup winning teams, right, the teams tend to come from two clubs, right? So you look at the Spain team, right? They were all pretty much Madrid or Barcelona.
All of them.
Germany, I think, I want to say
a lot of them are
most
Munich.
Of them were Munich, and maybe, you know,
you have some Dortmund and some international players,
but you had
too,
the majority of players on one team, right? Italy, when Italy won, it was a little, I think it was a little bit more spread out, but you had primarily Juve and then some from Milan. So, like, obviously, playing together with your international teammates makes a big difference on the international stage. So the question is,
because you don't get much time to practice,
right,
so you need to have,
so you need to
if
have
you play
that
with
chemistry.
Them on your club, you know what you're doing.
So the interesting question, though, that you're presenting is, does it matter for the club team? And so, you know, like you said, you don't practice a lot with the international team. So I don't know that that carries over into the club, right? I mean, I guess you have a little bit more bonding between certain players. So the other thing is, we talked about this a little bit before we started the show, and Dave was starting to bring this up. But, you know, when you said, oh, we're playing against an Italian team, that used to mean it is straight defense. Like, you might as well be playing a 9-1-1, right? So, you know, when you knew that if you were going to play against an Italian team, you just needed to score, like, a goal and you'd be okay. But that's not the case anymore. I mean, the Italian teams don't have that defensive mentality anymore, and I think it's just the larger game in general has become more fast-paced, has become more attacking-minded. You have a lot of coaches, like your man Klopp over at Liverpool, who, you know, implements just very, very attacking mindsets on teams. And you had that leaking over into Italy, and now you have games that are 4, 5, and 6 goals scored, which you know you didn't normally see. Yeah.
So, I mean, if you look at the top goal scorers in Italy, Higuain, he's Argentinian. Adair, he's Portuguese. Mm-hmm. Kalinic, he's clearly not Italian. I mean, you have to go Lorenzo Insigne. Yeah, yeah. He's probably Italian. But then you have Gervinho, Dybala.
I think he's Argentinian.
Is he? So you're looking at it, the top people aren't Italian, and these are from Italian teams. So you're looking at, and this is the diversity. The point is you're seeing a lot different of players one. That are not Italian who are the top
right.
players.
And you look at Milan, and it's interesting given their history with Inter, but you look at Milan now, and you know it's become such, you don't really have homogenous teams much anymore, right? And so I think last year, and you know, especially in countries like Italy, who you know face a lot of racial tension from fans and things like that. You know, we had a starting squad last year. I think that was 5 or 6 players who were black starting on that squad in certain games. Now it's like I think we have you know three or four internet, like you know, like Honda, I guess, is Asian too. He's you wouldn't see that recently. Yeah. So and I think it's good for the game in general. Whether or not teams play better, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, so to get into that, as just a person, this is one of the things that drew me to football in general is how diverse it is. Like you watch American sports and people will be from different states, but right. for the most part, I mean. And even sports where there are people, international players, you'll have something like hockey. They're mostly from Canada and Russia. Like there are a few places you get right. a lot of players from. In football, it can be from anywhere. You never know where you're going to get it from. But the funny thing is, I'm a Barca fan, and arguably our best team was in the, I guess, like maybe 08 to 2012, around that time, whatever. And the vast majority of our team, everybody but Messi, was Spanish.
Right.
And they played the Spanish
way. Look at your front three now.
So there are two things with this. So first thing is, so we played, I think that what defined our team at that time was that we played as a team. Yeah, Messi was great, but you never knew who was going to score. They played literally as a team. There were no
Messi
stars.
Scored a lot.
he scored a lot. But the whole point was that we had, people would say that we had 6 midfielders playing because there was no real striker. My point is everybody has to be on the same page. At the same time, Spain was winning everything for those same reasons. And you see, now you look at us now and we have a much more diverse lineup. But one difference, and I would say comparing this to Madrid, the vast majority of our team is still from Spanish-speaking countries. The only exceptions you have are people like Rakitic. I mean, if you look at our starting lineup, Suarez, Neymar, Messi, they're all South American. Iniesta's Spanish. You have Busquets, who's Spanish. Yeah. The back line, Mathieu is French, okay, so but he's usually not starting.
Throw a wrench in there, French.
Yeah. but the starting lineup doesn't have.
But it's funny, when you look at the starting lineup, Mathieu is the one name where you're like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, yeah.
But you can't be on this. One does not belong here.
You look at the back line, so you have Dani Alves on the right, then you have Pique, you have Mascherano, and you have Jordi Alba, and then you have Bravo in goal. So almost everybody is Spanish speaking. Now
just
flip it.
Just wait till Arda Turan gets there.
So okay, we're mixing it up, but clearly a lot of Spanish speaking. And you know, say what you will, but there is some kind of unity in that they speak the same language and they have a certain mentality. Whereas you flip over to Madrid, you have people like Bale, Benzema, Ronaldo, Modric, Cruz. All those guys are from different countries. And while I like that idea, I do think there is a synergy that they lack because they don't have that connection. You see, when Neymar scores, he goes to Dani Alves because they're both Brazilian. Right. You see these combinations, whereas you have such a diverse team, who knows where they're from? And while I love the idea of diversity, it is probably beneficial that everybody on the team, they don't have to learn Spanish or whatever language. They just know it because that's what they grew up in.
Right.
And while I don't like the fact that we're not diverse, I think it helps us out a lot. And one of the things that I think is a major thing holding Madrid back, you have this thing where Messi, Neymar, and Suarez love each other. You know,
they love each other, Sean. They love
Bale,
each other.
Ronaldo, and Benzema. I mean, I think Benzema and Ronaldo probably have the best relationship, but you still see some friction. And I wonder if they're all from Portugal. Would they all be best friends? You know what I mean? So for the game as a whole, I think diversity helps. But for a team, I think it helps a lot more when you're all from the same country and you can speak the same language and you can just connect with each other. And also you're in the country that you play in. You know, you're from the country that you play in. It just helps.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to look at this a little bit differently. What's interesting as well is that a lot of it has to do with the coach too, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like in terms of diversity, you look at like Arsenal. I mean, they have Koscielny, Mertesacker, Giroud, Sanchez, Ozil. Like, none of those guys are from England.
Yeah.
You got Wenger is a French coach, so they have Debuchy from France. Koscielny's from France. Giroud's from France. And, I think that might have something to do with it, too. And even some of the other teams. I mean, a lot of the England teams now are not English. I mean, they have a few English players.
And there are only a handful of star English players, though.
Well, so England...
Yeah, but I mean, I think, again, I don't know what it's like, but in England, I think it's getting more diverse than it was. Like, again, we weren't probably around, back to attest this, but I mean, every squad now, even Man U, they got Van Gaal, and now they have Blind, they have Depay, Dutch. They have Fellaini's Belgian. I mean, they have Schneiderlin's French. They have De Gea's Spanish. Mm-hmm. Mata's Spanish.
So
Darmian's Italian. I mean, their only real English guys are like Rooney. Their worst players. Well, minus Rooney, Carrick, Ashley Young.
Yeah,
like Smalling and Jones, and like it's crazy how the diversity is. Like, I mean, the English squads aren't really English squads anymore.
So I would totally agree with that, and I think the reason why that's happening is I don't think it's difficult to argue that the English teams have the most money overall, and they have pretty wide reach. I mean, this is going back to that other argument of top teams and other leagues and how they dominate, but you know, obviously Munich, Madrid, Barca, they have the pull, but they're all in separate, or they're not in separate leagues, but there aren't that many teams. Whereas the top four in England all have a lot of money. Add in City, they have money, so they can buy players. But what does this do? That means you don't grow homegrown town. You look, who was the last winner of the World Cup? Germany. Who was before that? Spain. It totally follows who the top teams in the world are. And when you have, even if Arsenal wins the title or City wins the title, none of them are English, so it doesn't really matter. And you can't grow homegrown talent when you're just buying player after player after player.
I mean, Chelsea, only English guys that really play are Cahill and Terry.
Yeah.
They have Begovic, they have Courtois, they have Azpilicueta, Ivanovic, Fabregas, Willian, Hazard, Matic, Costa, Pedro.
Yeah.
Oscar, I mean, none of their guys are English. So also, I mean, they're doing awful this year, clearly.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of time here. I think I could talk about this for a while. You have to figure, in terms of speaking, how this affects Mourinho's Portuguese. How, you know, obviously a lot of these people do know some sort of English, but I mean, a lot of these guys are all from different areas of the country. I mean, Spain, you got Brazil, you got Belgium. I mean, all these different nationalities mixed into one team versus, you know, if you had a team mostly Spanish guys, you got to figure the chemistry would be a little bit better with a team that's the same, you know, class, race, you know, etc.
And I think you see those connections. You see a lot of Spanish-speaking players kind of connect because they can talk to each other.
Right.
I still remember this at United when Valdez was being—he's just basically thrown to the side. I mean, the people who talked to him were people like De Gea, Mata, people who are on the Spanish national team, and they talk to other players in the same way. And you see these connections. But the only caveat I would say to England is I feel like English is a pretty widely spoken language. So if you're going to learn something, like German is notoriously difficult to learn. Yeah. So at least with English, it's easier to learn. And
but a lot of these teams have translators, though.
Oh, they definitely do, but you still, it's so still hard. Yeah. If you're a coach and you speak one language.
Like, I mean, what are you going to like, hey, Mata, what did he say? Like,
exactly. With refs
so
and things like that.
It's interesting because I think Milan especially is moving back towards being more Italian than we were in the last couple of years. I mean, you look at just the lineup from this week, right? We had Donnarumma, Romagnoli, Abate, Antonelli, Cerci, Montolivo, Bonaventura. It's, the majority of players now are Italian, which is interesting. And
Balotelli.
Yeah, Balotelli has been playing.
Is he injured?
Yeah, he's been injured. He has like a groin injury. But I mean, you look at the bench too. Like it's almost all Italian now, which is good, and we're playing stronger than we have been in the last.
It's got to be it, man.
But I think what we've always been missing outside of Balotelli and, you know, that striking influence has been tough to find. Yeah. And I think we need to search out of Italy for that because there are no huge Italian strikers.
Yeah, right now that's one disappointing thing. But, hey, if you're playing together, you're playing together. So,
and then, I mean, just another side of this, and again, we can talk about this for a while, I think. But, yeah, a few years ago, probably longer now, I think they tried to do, like, a homegrown thing with – it might have just been England. We're like, I think they still have it, but, like, you have to have a certain number. But, I mean, it's so ridiculous that, like, I mean, you can have – like 50 man rosters and like, you know, 30 of them aren't, it's not that ridiculous, but, you know, 30 of them can be guys on your youth squad. But I mean, it'd be interesting to see if they actually enforced it. I mean, I don't know what the benefit would be. I don't know how the reaction would be or whatnot, but it'd be interesting if England was like capped at like, kind of like MLS where like you can only have a certain amount of designated players. They're like, you can only have three guys and aren't English. I think that would affect England being the national squad and like their stance in Europe.
It would be tough though, because I think at the beginning you would just see a drop off in form of Premier League teams. Because the best players in the Premier League
Rooney, Kane.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what it comes down to. So maybe they would come back up. Maybe it's better for the international team, but it would still be tough. So either way, I think diversity is on the upswing, and I think more and more teams are going to become diverse, except Barcelona, apparently. So that'll do it for this week. You can catch us on – we're Chris Kress. We're on iTunes, and you can rate and please subscribe to us. You can also catch us on thecommentist.com, where you can find some other podcasts. We have The Unwind, which is about tech and geek culture. We have The Bearded Vegans. We have a D&D podcast. Just check it out for more fun stuff. And we hope to catch you next week.
Thanks.
See you.